As we look in Genesis, we're going to start down at verse 1. This chapter deals with correction. And God's going to correct a problem over here in this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And there are three cities in the Bible you need to take note of. One is Sodom, one is Babylon, the other one's Jericho. In Sodom, they tried to have this intersexual thing going on. In Jericho, they went with international relations going on. And in Babylon, they went with interreligious movements going on. And all three cities are destroyed by God on this side of the grave. That's how much God thinks about them three things. So the next time you hear I didn't show up at the Greater Gaffney Ministerial Association or at the local ministers' meetings, you'll know why. I know God hates that stuff. I'm not sitting beside somebody who's a woman preacher and believes she can lose her faith and talk in tongues and get it back. That's not my crowd. Sorry, can't do that. But I will sit with folks that believe the King James Bible, without error, inerrant, inspired, infallible. But a crowd that corrects the Bible, I don't believe God's called them. And I can't sit beside them and endorse what they're doing. A lot of times people wonder when you see somebody on a platform together, what that literally means. It tells everybody on the platform or tells everybody in front of that platform, you are exactly what they are. You're doing what they're doing. And I'm going to comment on more about that tonight. But starting at verse 1, we're going to see the deliverances of Lot in verses 1 through 29, and then the disgrace of Lot in verse 30 through 38. This chapter is not at all complicated. The reading scale on it, the grade level is 7.5, and we're going to take the first 11 verses and look at them tonight. As the Bible says, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house and made him a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I want to preach to you tonight on a subject and just from these verses on how God deals with perverts. How God deals with perverts. If you look up the word pervert, you're going to find that that thing literally means a person whose sexual behavior is abnormal and unacceptable. That's what a pervert is. They use the words to describe men like this now. They'll call them homosexuals. That's a term of evolution. Heterosexual, homosexual. They're trying to make themselves look normal. There's curse words that people have called them people, and you've got your own language on that, and you just use your mind on that one. But I want to stress that these men are not homosexuals. They've never been homosexuals. They're perverts. They're perverts. And the reason why they have such a problem with Bible-believing Christians is because God has set up his word against perverts and calls it sin instead of a lifestyle. He refers to it as an abomination. Acceptable. He don't say it's your life that you was born that way. He says, well, no matter how you're born, you must be born again. He doesn't say to them, well, you have your way, I'll have mine. I'll hurt something of mine, I won't have yours. That's not the language of God towards these people. He still calls them perverts. They're still perverted. And as we look at this tonight, I want to show you, number one, the saddest thing about this, I think, is the first thing I'm going to tell you, is the politician of the perverts. Can I tell you about Lot? He's a saved man. Peter said he was a saved man, or everybody I know that's a preacher, preach him right in hell for how he lives in this chapter right here alone. He had a choice back in Genesis chapter 13 that led to chains. Now he's at Sodom, and the Bible said he sat in the gate in particular. You'll find that term used in Ruth chapter 4 regarding a man over there. As he sat in the gate, he was a politician. That's how we define scriptural terms with scripture. We've got the man sitting in the gate over there as a politician, so we know that Lot was one over here. And in particular, he was the politician of the perverts. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse 1. It says in verse 1, so he sat in the gate, and he said, when he saw these men, he rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he mentions here, he said, turn it, I pray you. He's wanting them to come in with him into his house, tarry all night, wanting to clean them up and everything like that. And that way, when you wake up in the morning, you just go right on your way, because he knows, he sees them, but they've not come for something that's going to help the city. They've come to destroy it. He knew it by looking at them. How he knew and how I know that is just beyond what I can possibly say, but he's wanting to get them out of there as quick as they got in. He knew if those other people in Sodom saw two well-built men like that, they'd go nuts over them, both man and woman. See, the strange thing that nobody wants to deal with in this, he says, these guys said this, no, we'll just stay here in the street all night. They wasn't afraid of anybody there. If God be for us, who can be against us type thing? It says he pressed on them greatly, and it says and he got them into his house. He made a feast, baked unleavened cakes, and all this other stuff. I notice if you'll think back to when we was looking at Genesis chapter 18 just 2 weeks ago, Lot is doing everything Abraham taught him, but with regards to getting somebody to do something he wants to do. If that ain't a politician. You find very few of these politicians that are actual leaders. Most of them are people that walk around with a missionary handshake. You know what that is? What do you want me to say again? And I don't mean that derogatory towards no missionaries, but, you know, when you find somebody taking bribes and being on committees and all of a sudden they're not voting like their constituents want to vote, they're voting some other way, and we find out there's 10 lobbyists visiting them every week bringing them presents all the time. We set up these cameras in the world now to catch people doing stuff, right? They call them security cameras and so forth like that. I wonder if we set them up at some of our senators' doors and some of our House of Representatives' doors, what we'd see coming in and out of there all the time. Would you vote this certain way? I've got these free tickets, football games, 50 yards. You vote this way. See, all that public record. And they got what they say.
Yep.
They're up there with a bunch of perverts, and for them all the time, and have been for at least the last 25 years or 30 years, heavily, certain things passed or certain things are not a crime. See, what we find with politicians is, if we get you to move this just this little bit, that's not bad, is it? It's left, but still towards the right. And we say, well, you know, don't you be all fanatical. Is that right? Well, so we're going to do a little bit more. And by the time we think about this, I say, look up yonder, you know, we got, look at that, you know. We're a lot more left than we was, right? What happened? Just a little bit at a time.
Right.
Predominantly, I've noticed that the politician of the perverts keep bringing up legislation. You can check their records. They keep voting for things that you and I don't believe in. I ain't talking about some senator from California. I'm talking about our crowd.
Right.
Listen, back when I started preaching, you know what they had? You was either straight or you was a pervert.
Yeah.
Now, you either straight or you one of five other things and one of 97 genders. When I was born, there's only two, thank God. They figured out which one I was and told me what it was, and there I've been ever since. They told you the same thing. Now they're saying, let the children have a choice. I got news for you. You're supposed to train them. They're not supposed to train you. Our society's got it backwards. I mentioned this morning. I said, you could probably cut a chicken's head off and do it in satanic sacrifices in these churches and say, well, this is just for the children. Everybody think it's okay. Now, listen, when we got that alphabet crowd, they keep adding letters to the end of theirs all the time. You know what the next letter's going to be, don't you? It's going to be a P for pedophile. Or whatever they'll put that letter for. Why are they doing that? That's where they've been heading all the time. You think it's any coincidence that all of a sudden they're saying, well, you get to pick which gender you are. No, they're wanting to pick it for them. Listen, if I was in a classroom and I was a teacher and they come in and said, why don't you recommend this book here? It's called My Two Daddies or My Two Mommies. I'd either throw them or me out of the place. All the politics in the world and all the, well, it's just for this moment. They making us do it and all that. Forget that stuff. Right's right and wrong's wrong. Somebody told me one time, I was preaching a similar subject. They said, well, all that's in the Old Testament. We want to go to Romans chapter 1. We can go over there and get the New Testament if you'd like. Because it all ends the same way, and I'll show you that here in a minute. We see the politician, the perverts. Then we see the pursuit of the perverts. Verse number 4. Look at this. But before they lay down, talking about them angels, Lot and his two daughters he mentioned, his wife that's inside, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom can pass the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So we see that what they're doing is they're pursuing something that's perverted. They saw those men. They said, we're going to go out and get them. And Senator Lot, or House of Representatives Lot, or whatever, Mayor Lot, is going to let us do it. He's just getting fed good before we start. I want you to write something down so you memorize this. You ready for this? Sex perverts want perverted sex. Now, that's a bad statement to have to say in this day and age, but we ain't said it back then, so now we're paying for it now. It's not a lifestyle. It's not an alternative choice. It's perversion. What's normal? Well, in the book of standards here, one man, one woman. I preach your old fashioned, that's Old Testament. Matthew chapter 19, from the beginning, God made it so, Adam and Eve. And the pursuit of these men, we see both old and young, we see all of them came out to do this. I don't know which one of his daddy or mama said this, but somebody said it to you growing up, and I hope you kids growing up will hear this from your parents, that nothing good happens after dark. Can I ask you what time these people came out and all the city came out? They wasn't working third shift, by the way. They wasn't out delivering newspapers. They wasn't out running the mill or whatever. They were coming out for a show. And the pursuit they had was ungodly. It's sexual behavior that's abnormal and unacceptable. Then we see the popularity of the perverts there in verse 4. It said, old and young, all the people. See, when a sin gets to be accepted and everybody's okay with it, that's a problem. What were they doing? They were just doing what they normally did. They had popularity around them parts, remember? Their sin was so grievous that here, 5,000 years later, we are still calling it sodomy when that act's committed. Yep. You know, by the way, that's illegal.
That's right.
It's very illegal. And well, why won't nobody enforce that? You tell me. When did it become okay? When did it become okay with you? We don't allow it in my house. But don't worry, we're not just, you know, homo bashing or homophobia or whatever. I ain't scared of none of them. It's sin and we don't allow it in.
Right.
We don't let drunks come in either. We're equal opportunity. We don't let drunks and potheads and all this other stuff come in. We don't let people come in our house and spread that stuff around us because you know what? It may be popular with the world, but that's still my house. Is that right? Listen. You ain't got to make excuses for why you don't let it in your house. Just tell them. Say, we don't do that here, and we don't allow that here. My wife, she's the only one I ever knew had a drunk uncle. You ever had one of them? We didn't allow him in our house. We loved him. We brought him to church several times. We didn't let him come to his house drinking. Why would we do that? Because for long, me and her be drinking with him. So I thought you didn't drink. I don't. But if I keep lying around long enough, for long, I'll accept it. It'll be a matter of time. But I see the popularity had went to everybody. Did you notice old people and young people? Usually the old people get stuff. But not in Sodom. They were okay with it too. See what it is, if your grandkids do it, it's okay. That's the sin going on. See, I preached on this stuff before, and a man be sitting here, old man, and one of his sons be like that, and he gets mad at me for preaching it. You know why he got mad at me? Because he couldn't see God. So he don't hate on God, boy. You just brought that out wrong. No, it's still a sin. But listen, if you got people in your family like this, God bless you. Listen, this ain't a personal attack, because I've got them in my family, probably. So which ones? I don't know what that is. You shake them bushes enough, something falls out of them every time. Amen, friend, amen. Now notice this. We see their popularity, but if you look down at verse 5, we see their publicity. Their publicity. Here's what they were doing. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. The publicity. What were they doing? They didn't say, we'll come in there and do it behind closed doors. They said, no, bring them out here. Here last week over in Spartanburg, they had a thing, and they had one in Greenville a while back. And I'm sure it'll probably come to our area before long, that with taxpayers' dollars, people who you pay with your taxes that work at a library are allowing a bunch of sodomites to come in, perverts, men dressed up like women, to read to children. So when we're organizing a protest, we're not. We don't protest. We preach and we pray. I was asked a while back, one of them sodomite outfits over there, they said, we're going to go over there and have street preaching while they're having their sodomite parade. You in? I said, not in. So why ain't you in on that? Because I'm not taking the young men of this church, nor the old men, and taking you to the place where you watch men and women commit sodomy right there in the streets of Spartanburg, South Carolina, and get you familiar with it. Amen, friend. See, here's what they're doing that you don't understand. That is nothing but to desensitize the person that's against that stuff to make them think it's okay so that you'll accept it, and whether you commit said act, you'll be okay with it. We'd have never dreamed back in the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, and the 60s that stuff would be here. But it's marched its way from San Francisco, California, all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, and coming up the coast with it. And the sad thing is, nobody will utter one bit of resistance to it in the proper channel. Organize your protest. Go out there, street preach. Get locked up or whatever. Do what you do. But mind you, our politicians are allowed to go on with your tax dollars. Crazy, ain't it? I hear people all the time saying, oh, well, let's not preach against this stuff. They might take away our tax-exempt status. Do you realize that that makes you a slave to somebody if you're doing that? That you've just taken a muzzle on your mouth and not saying a word, and the politicians you vote in, listen, if they have that here, don't organize a protest. Call these senators. Call these House of Representatives. Call your sheriff. Call your chief of police. Call your mayor and tell them you want your tax dollars back as long as they're doing garbage like that. Well, we just... That's how they... I'll do what I can. I don't know if I... You sound just like one. Listen, these career politicians in these places 40 and 50 years have term limits on every... That's from the city and county council to the mayor to the county seat to the governor to the senators to the House of Representatives, every one of them. Because there's a lot of money to be made from somebody who don't make just probably a little more than the average salary some of y'all make. They go, here's they're a millionaire. How'd that happen? Tell me how a representative out of San Francisco sat up there for 45 years, and she went in a model and come out looking like Skeletor, and went in making $10,000 and come out making $2 something million, and that ain't even paid by the state. Where's all that coming from? Strange, isn't it? I see our poor school teachers up there. They can't get the material for their thing. They charge the students every day for lunch. Where's all that money going? Where's it at? Hand me a budget to tell me where the dime is and tell me why we still got to pay for all these activities, but yet we get police protection for a crowd like that to come in and be a pervert and run the same chicken. You know what I think? This is my opinion, my personal opinion about it. Again, here's the words. Listen to it. Term limits. Instead of them making millions up there, make them go out and do their own business. But see, the publicity of these perverts, they just want to desensitize you to what they're doing so you will accept them as being normal. If you'll notice also, we see the pacifying to these perverts. If you look down at verse number 6, and Lot went out the door unto them. It says, and he shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Here's the pacifying of the perverts. Did you notice something in that verse is out of place? Something in that verse don't belong there. Brethren. Who did he just call brethren again? See, we get over there and we read Peter's epistles and Lot, a righteous man, vexed his soul, so forth. That's how he vexed it right there, by making them accepted in his religion. Brethren. Do you know what it takes for somebody to be your brethren in Christ? Christ. You know what Christ didn't mean? Might relationships of any kind. I've been asked before, how do you know a person's of a reprobate? And here's what you know. Reprobate means fine. That's a question right there. They're not in Christ. These people are not wanting to spread the joys of Jesus. They're not wanting to have the still salvation of people to keep them out of hell. No, they're wanting to be just like them. Here not long ago at a church here, somebody called me and told me that something happened, that there was this pervert playing piano in one of the churches. And I arranged to meet with the fellow. I said, I need to talk to you. And I told my dear brother, I said, listen, you got one playing the piano on you, get rid of him. I said, you're hurting your ministry. Now, I normally don't go to other churches and tell them what to do, but I had a vested interest in this case, so I went over and talked to him. He said, but how am I going to reach him if I don't keep him up there? I said, you've already lost him. Once you park him up here, they think they're like you. See the term brethren right there? Lot lost every witness he had with them people because they thought they were equal with him. Now listen to this. My dear brother corrected that thing, got him off that piano, and he quit the church. Can you believe that? He is up there banging on the show like he is a old West piano players, you know, all that stuff, in a saloon, which is probably where they learn half that garbage, by the way. But he goes and he tells that guy that, the guy gets off thing, and come to find out, he hadn't repented and got right with God and started coming to church. He and his boyfriend been going together the whole time he was there. But once he's on the platform, we're equal now. We don't call them brethren. They're not brethren. Try this word on size. Heathen. So what's a heathen? That's them people out in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and South America, right? No, that's the people you pass by that don't have Christ. They're heathens. That means they don't know God. I don't know how that term ever applied to them people in them two locations, but the heathens among us, not outside from us. But they took and they said, listen here. Now, brethren, I've never heard it preached. I've never read it in the Bible, but I'm sure they had some kind of worship service there in that place, because all of them do. They had the name of a church that, I forget, it was Metropolitan, something or other like that. Their dear brother had a church named Metropolitan Baptist Church. He changed it to the Bible Baptist Church, something like that. Name. I said, amen, brother. What do they teach in places? Don't know. I ain't never been to one, praise God. But I'll give you three guesses what they teach. I know which chapters of the Bible they're not reading out of. I know which scriptures they avoid every time. Do you know to practice that lifestyle, you gotta get rid of almost 4/5 of your Bible to just avoid it? And see, the pacifying of these perverts goes on now. Well, we'll let you read in the library if you won't do, have a sodomite parade in their street. They'll gladly agree with that. That's pacifying them. Well, they get what they want to start with. Your children. Can I stress that enough? Your children, what they're after. You're a lost cause. You're all brainwashed by the Bible, and you believe God's against them, so they'll just go with something that ain't. That's what they do. Right. On the fence saying, that ain't the way I am, or whatever like that, you're headed that way. Right. See, there's a digression to this thing. See, no man or no woman's born with that perversion in mind like that. For them. You're not born that way. What happens is, if you go study Romans chapter 1, number 1, you know there's a God when you're born, verse 20. And then from there it goes to one sin, to another, to another, to another, to another, and then you find God turns them over to a reprobate mind doing that which is not convenient. Men with men, women with women working that which is unseemly, God calls it. I was taught long ago that if the parts don't fit, the thing don't work. Right. And with that crowd, they're taking something and perverting what it is and trying to make that the standard where God's standard sets at the opposite where they're at.
Right.
Can you imagine how people come along and that serial killer, that I forget which one, the dude dressed like a clown, what was his name? Gacy or one of them guys, the guy in Florida, they like it. One of the two was on an interview with that Dobson fella and said that the way he got into that wicked lifestyle of killing people and doing all this, he said he started off looking at porn, that digressed him down into it. Bundy, that's his name. I knew it was a Y in there. That guy lied to Dobson and he lied to the television screen, and if you believe him, he lied to you. It did not start with watching pornography. It started in his wicked, ungodly heart that he never got under the blood of Jesus Christ, that was never transformed by the Holy Ghost and regenerated. That's the problem. Because see, some of these people digress right of that lifestyle and bypass pornography altogether. Crazy, ain't it? You mean a serial killer lie to me? You bet he would. So what's he wanting? TV time, honey. See, it's the heart that's the problem, not the eyes. Can you say that again? It's the heart that's the problem, not the eyes. Now, when you get to the point where people are like this, and you got Lot calling them brethren over here, and you're trying to pacify them from starting a riot, boy, don't that sound like something? And by the way, the solution to pacifying these perverts, if you look, he says in verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters, look at this, which have not known man. He says, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Can you believe what you just read right there? Here, take my two daughters. Do with them what you will. Now listen to me. I do not understand why a man would say that. I've never figured that out. But to my dying breath, let me say it. You cannot have my children to do this with them. So what's the other option? You don't want to know which barrel's coming next. And I promise you ain't a barrel of monkeys. Can you believe somebody would do this to their own children? But yet while we're pacifying these perverts, we're feeding our children to them. As long as we don't say it's a sin, and as long as we don't say it's an abomination, as long as we don't say it's of a reprobate mind, we're giving our children to them instead. By the way, I've been in spelling bees when I was a kid, growing up and things. You watch them on TV now. I never heard him call out the word abomination. Can you spell that for us and give a definition for it? Words like that always get left out of spelling bee, don't they? Do you know there's, I think it's 15 things in the Bible God calls an abomination? Say, are you just picking on one? No, I pick on all of them. I'm equal. I'm against all of them. And I noticed that when God is showing us what Lot said here, this is the terrible tragedy of when you start pacifying that crowd, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse until you're giving up your children to these people. Isn't it something that people want to take and say, well, I wouldn't give my children to them, but yet you let them teach your children all the time. So what do you mean, let them teach my children? I've noticed say some of them teaching in these schools now. Where was the director of education at that point? I read a list the other day from 1923. You're talking about old-fashioned, 1923, of the list that went with a school teacher's job. You know what it said over and over? Character, testimony, responsibility, keep the classroom clean, wash the boards, scrub the floors. Not while the children are there. Keep it clean after they leave. And it kept on saying that they couldn't have alcohol, I believe it was. If you got caught drinking alcohol, you were fired on the spot. Now they're giving them DUIs right out here in front of Gaffney High School. I know, if I worked out there, I'd probably want to be drunk too. I understand. Because if you can't correct them children, it's going to be like teaching in a jungle atmosphere. And that's what it's become. Back to the Bible or back to the jungle, they say. And now it's gotten so much like that, you can't tell the good guys from the bad guys. But I do know this. If you put somebody like that in a classroom, what are they teaching people? Because every teacher I've ever met, from Miss Willa to everyone I've ever met, says the same thing. Once the door closes, I teach them. Imagine if that crowd's a teacher. Now you wonder how it crept in. It slipped in a long time ago. So what's the solution? Make a set of rules and stick by them. Make sure your superintendent ain't drunk. That was going on long before that. Everybody just kind of looked the other way. Well, that's the mayor's daughter. Mm-hmm. See, when they were on top, they didn't mention my crowd, but now that they're like, oh, yeah, that's my cousin over there pastoring at church. Yeah, I understand now. Listen to me very carefully. The very pacifying of these perverts, here's what they said, verse 9. They won't be pacified. Watch this. Verse 9, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Don't you judge me. But use your favorite Bible verse, judge not. You thought it was in Matthew 7. They had it back there a long time ago. He's going to come in and judge us. He needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. How about that? They turned on the politician. He tried to pacify them, and they're going to turn on him. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Now what about that? Lot say, listen to this. Let's have a compromise. I'll give you my two daughters. Y'all just don't touch these guys. They said, you're going to judge us? We elected you. You're going to sojourn through here. Remember when you first come, you needed water and food because your well-watered plains out there dried up on you a lot. The choice you made over not taking the desert, taking the green path over here, Lot, we saw you when you built your tents. You built it where everyone could see our beautiful city. Now you going to judge us? The pacifying didn't work. So the only thing left is they're going to do a lot what they're going to do to those men. How about that? Out in the open, all the city with gang rape going on before their very eyes. You talking about a desensitizing act they were fixing to commit against one of their own. A man who lived there in their own city. A man who said, well, y'all can be like that, but I'm not like that. But you don't do what, you don't hurt what I'm doing, I won't hurt what you're doing. I see that stuff on Facebook all the time. Let me tell you something. It's sin, it's ungodly, and it's not right. And that whole, well, I'm not taking a side, you just took one. And it wasn't the middle. The devil is not interested in you picking what's right or what's wrong. He's just interested in you saying, well, I want to be you like you want to be. Just trying to think you getting on, not going to take a side with it. When in reality, you're already picking his side. See, the devil is the author of confusion, and the biggest confusion among things of God is the word compromise. Well, we're not like everybody else. What you do is we need to get together and come up with a common solution and all this other stuff. Why don't we have one particular set standard in writing and we just go by that one? So what would that standard be? The King James Bible. It done fine for 200 years in this country. Listen, when somebody tells me our laws are based on what a bunch of old white men had to think about it, I see the ignorance blaring out of both sides of their mouth when they say it. Can I let you know something? The guy on the $1 bill that was the first president was not an old man when he took that office. He wasn't an old man when they called him general and he fought in the Revolutionary War. Neither was the second, third, or fourth president that also wound up on money or in pictures in the White House. These weren't old men. There might have been one or two there that was old. But listen, they weren't old men at the time. But the standard by which they base our laws on was older than the country they came from. And it was written down Jewish men who weren't old, but maybe one or two of them, under the inspiration of God. How about that for old men writing laws? Oh, and just then, they wasn't white either. You ever see pictures of white Jesus with his blue eyes? Well, he's nothing like that. He was a Jew. Olive skin, dark hair, and brown eyes. And the Bible says of him, he was nothing but average, basically, to look on. He wasn't no studly do-right type of guy-looking thing. He was a man, though. Now, notice this. We see him pacifying these perverts and what happens, but then we see the punishment of the perverts. Verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door, it says, and smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. How about that? These guys said, you know what? You want to live like that? We'll give you blindness. If you're looking at verse 11 in a spiritual type context, when you run into the word door, you run that word door all the way through the Bible, and the buck stops over there in the Gospel of John where somebody says, I am the door. I am the door. They so went against their only testimony, the only Christian, so-called Christian they knew, which was Lot, that when they pressed on him after he tried to pacify them, it come down to the point where they said, okay, we're going to do to you. And all of a sudden, them men grabbed Lot, pulled him inside, and smote him with blindness. They wearied themselves to find the door. There's been three individuals in this town. Three. I will not tell you their names. But they had all been involved in the sodomite community. One of them calls my wife wanting to get saved because he thinks he's dying and realizes, I need to get saved. I'm wrong. A second one, we give a track out up there at one of these fast food restaurants, and as soon as we hand them, you can't hardly understand them for crying. That was under conviction before we ever pulled up. The third one I ran into at this mall out here, the guy comes up, and he taps me on the shoulder, and he said, are you? And before he got my name, he just broke down crying. He said, I need to get saved. I said, let's get saved right now. He said, I can't. I said, why? He said, because I don't want to give up what I'm doing. I said, you got to give it up. You got to give that up. He said, what did you give when you got saved? I started naming off a list. So what'd it do? It'd make a nun cry, honey. He said, I know I need to. I said, you need to do it right now. Why you got a chance? Why God's dealing with you right here? I'll never forget this. The guy walks off. 2 days later, he's dead as a doornail. I don't know if he got saved when here and there. I have no idea. I just know that if you have that opportunity, you better tell him right while you got him there in front of you. Because not a day goes by I don't think about that. I think about his family, his friends, and I wonder, maybe the guy did get saved, maybe, I don't know. But I do know this. I've watched people in Baptist churches all my life tell me how they're against this very sin right here, but they'll watch it on TV without one problem. Can I tell you something else? The people in Sodom weren't all homosexuals and perverts, but they all didn't have a problem with it. The prophet Ezekiel spoke to his crowd in his day and gave them 4 things that they were full of right then. He never named this sin right here. Isn't that something? We're not preaching backward. We're dismissing what all the Bible's message is. The message is you turn against God and you turn your back on the things of God. This is the last step right here. When you go to reading in the history of the kings of Israel, you ever wonder why they hate Israel so much? Here's why. Every king that got the favor of God threw this crowd out first. Got rid of them. So how'd they get rid of them? I think they killed them, but I'm not saying kill them by no means. I don't think that'd be the right way to do it. But I do say this. They couldn't practice this while certain people was kings in Israel. They wouldn't do it while Saul was king and while David was king and so forth like that. Then a few of them started letting idolatry creep in. Then they started letting all this other stuff creep in. Before long, the land was full of it. God brings revival, and that's the first thing to go. Out the door it went. So what did they do the whole time? They were blind. They were still trying to find the door. Listen, you keep pressing on this thing, get involved in religion, this stuff, and try to say that God made you that way. You are blind, and somebody put you that way. And listen to this. What we find in America is the blind leading the blind now. And they're both going to hit the ditch. Somewhere along the way, you're going to see the punishment of the perverts. God starts off by blinding them right there where they can't find the door. The worst is yet to come. Billy Graham said back in 1972 that if God doesn't destroy America, he's going to owe this crowd an apology. I went and looked at that statement. I went and saw what Jesus Christ said about it. He said, before the coming of the Son of Man, it'll be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And then he makes this statement, remember Lot's wife. If this place ain't already destroyed by now, how much worse is it going to get? The blind still leading the blind. They're still perverts. They're seeking publicity. They're trying to get our children, raise them up with the idea that it's gay okay. It's not gay okay, and it never has been. They got on Charles Worley a while back, that preacher up North Carolina, because he said one statement that just, they lost their minds over this. He said, if your crowd's so right with God, let's put y'all in one place and fence that outfit up, and we'll give you all the food you can eat, but in 100 years you'll be gone because you can't reproduce. And I thought about that. I thought, man. So they're threatening to kill him, they're having police at the church and all this other stuff. Wait a minute. I thought y'all were a peaceful, loving crowd. That's why they call you gay, because that used to mean happy. Now all of a sudden you got all these violent perverts in there wanting to kill everybody and all this other stuff. And you think we got hate speech problems? Listen to me. Their punishment's this. They can't reproduce. Their lifestyle don't work. They can't build a nation off of it. Now you figure out why they have your children? They're going to need them in about 15, 20 years. When Virginia Mollenkott and people like that can't reproduce, they're going to have somebody there that can. You ever wondered why they're all into that? That's why, because they want your kids. Because if they teach up your kids, your kids can do it for them. Oh, you a good strict Baptist? Good. They like to take them first. Because kids that's raised in our type churches are looking for a way out because we got so many rules they don't know what to do anymore. Listen to me. The punishment's yet to come. Here's the sad part. I've heard everybody under the sun tell me that they believe this crowd can get saved. And I ask them all the same question I'm asking you tonight. How many of them have you talked to about the Lord? The ones that organized the anti-preaching thing against the... Ask them how many you witnessed to. Well, I may have and didn't know. No, no, no. How many of you knew what they was and went to them and told them the gospel of Jesus Christ and told them God would save them? You know what the answer's been every time? We've never thought about it. Have you thought about it? How about showing up? What if you showed up at the reading room over there and whatever that thing is sitting there in front of you and said, listen, I don't hear you read. I don't read to you. Get out of gospel track and start reading to them. Tell them you believe God wants to save them. Tell them you're going to bring them to church Sunday morning. So you'd let that in here? I'd let anybody here to preach to. I'd let Obama in here to preach. I wouldn't care. He could bring the Secret Service and what's her name with him and everything. I wouldn't care. Wouldn't bother me at all. Ain't have him on one side and the Clintons on the other. I don't care. Anybody's welcome to come here preaching. Anybody. Don't ever let anybody fool you and say nobody's welcome at this church because everybody's welcome here. Now, as far as you getting on this platform and singing and being in the choir and being a youth teacher and whatever, now that's where we're going to draw the line at. Because we got a specific thing here. You must be born again before you, you know, do all that. You got to be part of the body of Christ to do that. But I just wonder. We're against them, right? When are we going to tell them the gospel? It's just a matter of time. If we don't start winning them to Christ, they're going to win us. Take the gospel to them before they bring the perversion to your children and to you. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.